This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Thank you for being here. If you're making plans to do wine destinations this summer, this fall, you couldn't go wrong by placing yourself in the Cowichan Valley in the month of August, because they are going to pull off the 2021 Cowichan Wine Festival from August 1st to 30th, the entire month. And to celebrate that and give you more information, as much as you need, our guests in this hour are going to be Jim Moody, the owner winemaker at the oldest vineyard in the Cowichan Valley, Zenata; Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse; Lauren Inglis, the general manager at Enrico Winery; Brent Rowland, the winemaker at Avril Creek and Joux; Michelle Schulze from Venturi Schulze; and winemaker Dan Wright from Unsworth. That's the lineup for this edition of Tasting Room Radio. By the way, you will find, courtesy of Corey Wood, associate producer, the Zoom video of this conversation on our website, tastingroomradio.com, which can be found at mulliganstew.ca. Cheers. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite, recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. All the details at EnricoWinery.com. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. This is going to be a true two-parter in that we're going to talk to the wineries of the Cowichan Valley, because the Cowichan Wine Festival is coming up in August, all of August. The second half is going to be, if they show up, my friends, you never know. It's going to be Avril Creek, Venturi Schulze, Unsworth. But for this first bag of winemakers, I don't know what a bag of winemakers, what is a group of winemakers? Is it like a murder? A murder of?
Crazy.
I have, and I'm talking to, actually, since a long time, Jim Moody, the owner and winemaker at Zenata, the oldest winery in the Cowichan Valley, and Vancouver Island, if I'm not mistaken. Well, you can correct me in a second. And also Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, the winemaker. And Lauren Inglis from Enrico. So, Jim, if I remember correctly about Zenata, I love Zenata. First of all, I love Zenata because it's a real... It's like you can tell you've walked into somebody's building, room, house, farm. It has that feel to it, which is exactly what people who maybe are visiting a winery for the first time, that's exactly what they, I'm sure that they see in their minds. Were you a farm first, then became a winery? That's why I understand.
My late father-in-law bought the property in the 50s, and yeah, he ran a dairy for quite a few years, right into the 70s. And then from there, he went into the marble and tile business, being Italian. That was part of his background. And ran that for numerous years. And that business still exists under my brother-in-law, quarrying stone on Vancouver Island. And then in the 80s, we started with the provincial experiment. Then that led to what was back then the Farmgate Winery license being allowed.
Sure.
And then from there, we took off. So.
And when did you go into a phone booth and come out as a winemaker?
1996 is when I did it. Right. I've been here since 92.
Where did you get your winery chops?
Well, actually, I learned, Loretta actually got the degree, Loretta Zenata. She got her degree in enology in Piacenza, Italy.
Yeah.
Back in 1990. She started making the wine, of course. And then with having children, we took over when Loretta's sister passed away in 97. She took over our restaurant side of the business, and that left me in the winery.
We have the man representing the Cowichan Winery Association and the combined all of his friends in the Cowichan Valley, Lauren Inglis from Enrico. Are you with us?
I am with you.
I'm going to continue on with Jim for just a moment. Jim, what was first planted? What worked well?
Ortega and Cayuga were our first initial varieties. We did plant Gamay originally as well, but that didn't turn out very well.
Damn.
May I readdress that later?
Yes.
That was one of my first jobs, was pulling it out.
One of the wines that you sent me is Damasco. I'm going to see if I can identify the blend, because you conveniently in your website and anybody who's reviewed it, it only says just a delightful blend, is I think is the term. There is some Ortega, obviously, because Ortega grows well. There is some orange muscat or moscato, something like that.
Yeah, early muscat.
Okay. I would say Cigarebe, but I would also say Auxerrois.
Yes.
And
that one.
And there's one more I can't figure out. What's the last one in there?
The final part of the blend is Madeleine Sylvain.
It represents
a small part.
Is there some Bacchus?
No Bacchus.
Okay, fine. And does it change from year to year? Or is it so?
I try and maintain consistency. I'll actually blend in previous vintages to maintain consistency.
Sure.
And, but proportions are pretty much the same.
And this is what you'll be pouring during the wine festival?
Yes.
How many cases did you make?
We do up to 1,500 a year.
That's very good. What else could people taste if they were to hang around and or come in July, say? Or
We've got our Ortega, of course, our Pinot Noir. We still have a small bit of Muscat that we did as a varietal last year.
Okay.
And, of course, our champagnes. We do our Fantasia, which is done with Cayuga. We will be releasing our Rosé, which is Pinot Noir, Method Champenoise. Our Traditional, which is Pinot Noir done white, Method Champenoise. And, as well, our Taglio Rosso, which is our red champagne.
Who does Riddling?
I do, but not my son doing it right now, so.
And any events that you're going to have during the month of August, during the wine festival, anything special you're going to do?
There might be, but I never know until they happen to.
Oh, good. That's great.
Jim, you have to be there on the weekend. Okay.
Okay. Your tasting room is open now?
Yes, we are. We opened last week.
Wednesday to Sunday?
Wednesday to Sunday, 11 till 4:30.
4:30, exactly. This is our Cowichan special. Cowichan Wines are going to be having their festival this month of August. This is a primer for those of you who want to make your plans. We've been talking with Jim Moody, the owner of Zenata Winery, one of the oldest wineries, not only in the valley, on the island, but in British Columbia. And now, right down the road from him, Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse. Bailey, tell us about Blue Grouse and how they've handled the last year and a half, 2 years.
Well, you know, it hasn't been without its challenges. We've tried to, you know, adapt as we can, like everyone else. We've moved most of the tastings outside now. We have a lot of outdoor space, some covered, some not. You know, the more inclement days are a little more difficult to host as many people as we'd like. You know, it's just, it's a moving target, and you just have to be adaptable.
Yeah.
That being said, I mean, when we are able to host people, everyone seems very happy to have gotten out of their house and doing something different that's a little more enjoyable. Like everyone, I think we've adapted as best we can.
Tell me if I've got my my times and dates right. Wednesday to Sunday, 11 to 5. Masks are required, 6 at a table, and book a reservation, correct?
Yes. You can book a reservation online at our website. And it takes it, it's pretty seamless. We seem to have gotten the process under control. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, if people show up early in the week, there's often the ability to accommodate them. But
sure.
My suggestion, certainly on a weekend, if you're looking to do it, is make a reservation. For sure.
If you're going to be pouring the 2020 Estate Ortega, your signature grape, frankly, although Pinot's starting to make a headline for you guys. What is it? I know that Ortega, and I've said this before, and it's my thinking about it and what people tell me, that if they don't recognize what the grape varietal is, they stand back and they want to get filled in. So give me that 20-second, 30-second fill in, which you've done hundreds and hundreds of times. You've got it down to a science now. Tell us about Ortega.
Well, as Jim pointed out, you know, Ortega was one of the first grape varieties tested here and recognized as a great, match for the Cowichan Valley. I like it because it maintains some great acidity. It's got great mouthfeel, and it really does complement all the beautiful seafood that we get in Cowichan Bay, from spot prawns to crab to halibut.
How about lingcod?
Oh, lingcod as well. Any kind of whitefish. You know, it's just such a great food wine, good acidity, and lots of aromatics, and that tension in the wine.
And four months on lees?
Well, as long as you want, but you can develop a lot of character out of it. There's been some people that have done some barrel fermented stuff that's very interesting as well. I think your imagination is the limit on what you can do with it. I mean, a bit of it goes into our sparkling occasionally. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity with what you want to do.
I'm just looking at my notes here. You will be open for the month, of course, of August for the Cowichan Wine Festival. What special events have you planned, or are you just going to take it one day at a time?
I think we're sort of waiting before we plan any special events, just because the public health orders are changing fairly rapidly. We would hope that perhaps we can, you know, expand a bit of the food service, perhaps bring in a food truck or something like that. But, you know, that's a game day decision that we'll have to wait for. We still have charcuterie boards now. You know, it's just a little more controlled environment. We pour the wines, you come in and sit down at a table, but the wines are already, our ambassadors, if you will, stand at a safe distance with masks on and talk to you and answer your questions about the wine. So, you know, it's all controlled and regulated.
Tell me, have you guys, if you did this, I missed it. Have you guys, all of you are taking growers and bottlers. Have you done a tasting side by each and just tasted how different the sub-GI is, one from the other?
Yes.
Yeah, we've done that. We've done that a few times just internally with the winemakers and
that's right. Wineries. And how different were they, Jim?
Quite different. It's really nice to see. I mean, obviously there's the Ortega in there, but just everybody's different style and their location. It's really quite nice to them all like that.
Some oaked, some unoaked, some leaves.
Yeah, Beaufort does an oaked Ortega. They also do with the Champenoise as well, and that's, you know, quite different.
Does it want to be an ice wine?
Ice box style, I imagine, would be all you could do here.
Well, you can freeze your grapes. All right.
That's right.
That's the Randall Graham Bonnie Doon style. Put it in the freezer.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Oh, look, Lauren Inglis is here from Enrico.
Speaking of Ortega.
Please, Bailey, please tell me what you're going to pour at the counter during the wine festival.
Definitely it'll be the Ortega and the Rosé, and there may be a something else red that'll be a game day decision depending on what the managers upstairs decide.
If you could, what would you pour?
I'd pour it all.
Thank you.
Attaboy, Bailey.
That's why you're not in charge. Oh, by the way, I think I want to congratulate you, Bailey, because you led the charge for the sub-GI that you guys now proudly can put on your labels.
Everybody was involved. Everybody was on board. Not everybody might use the sub-GI on their label, but they're able to if they decide. You know, for some people, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And then for others, they want to. So the option is there for the individuals.
You know, I know that you're not looking for any rewards, but a knighthood might be on the way. That's fantastic. Well done.
Unlikely.
This is Tasty Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and this is our Cowichan Wine Festival special. This year is going to be slightly different because it's the entire month of August. And we have two groups of winemakers and principals on the show. This one includes Jim Moody, the owner winemaker at Zenata, Bailey Williamson, the winemaker at Blue Grouse. Still to come, Lauren Inglis is going to speak about the Cowichan Wine Festival himself and talk about his winery where he runs things. The winery, of course, is Enrico. And then we'll have a group discussion and start banging heads. We'll be right back with our conversation with Lauren Inglis from Enrico right after this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery in the Cowichan Valley. They're very excited about their white wine spring release, Pinot Gris, The Shining Armor. Always a crowd favorite. Recent winner of a gold medal at the Okanagan Best of Varietal Awards. That new release is going to be one of the hits of the summer. And of course, their crowd favorite, Tempest Ortega. Just a note that the tasting room at Enrico Winery will be open this summer, Wednesday to Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. And you'll be happy to know that music has started on the deck, weather permitting. All the details at EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Mooncursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room is now open daily for tastings and sales. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tully and the entire smuggling team at Mooncursor. All the details at mooncursor.com. And welcome back. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. You can find the details for this show and, remarkably, photos of the guests in color. We are celebrating the Cowichan Wine Festival for the month of August, and we've invited along Jim Moody, the owner and winemaker at the oldest vineyard in the Cowichan Valley, Zenata Winery. Bailey Williamson, the winemaker from Blue Grouse. Brent Rowland, Avril Creek and Joux. Michelle Chusa from Venturi Chusa. And Dan Wright, the winemaker from Unsworth. In this segment, someone has to step forward and speak on behalf of the wines of the Cowichan Valley. They have chosen Lauren Inglis from Enrico. Lauren, is Enrico open?
100%. Wednesday to Sunday, we're open from noon till 5. No reservations are required. We too have a very large patio and deck, of which most of it's covered right now. So.
And the music program has started, right? Every Saturday, weather permitting?
Music has started every Saturday, yes. Starts at 1 and plays till about 5 o'clock.
How do you clear that room at 5 o'clock? Or do you?
Brooms and yelling and screaming.
Yeah, loud hailers. And, okay.
Yeah, that's about it.
What have you planned to pour during the festival?
Well, seeing as everybody else is doing Ortega, we're not. So we're gonna do one of our sparklings. We're gonna do our rosé, and then we're gonna have a bit of a surprise red. And it'll change day to day, but it'll either be the Lieber or the Foch. But I'd really like to see if we can sneak down a little bit of the field blend for a couple special guests and let them try that.
Very nice, Jim. Are you gonna sneak anything under the table? I don't hear any surprise reds there.
Actually, possibly two this year. One maybe not. It's going to need another year, but I think there's one waiting to come out. So
it's cool. it's like a card game. Everybody's got their...
Who's going to trump who, right?
Jim Moody from Zenata, Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, Lauren Inglis from Enrico. Lauren, you have been chosen. I don't know why, but you have been chosen to be the spokesperson on this session for the Cowichan Wine Festival for the month of August. What shape and form is it going to take? Will we recognize it from like last year?
Yeah, the format's going to be the same as last year. It's obviously going to go the entire month of August, starting at the 1st. We're super excited about it again this year. The fourth year going, last year was a total sellout. Actually, it was beyond a sellout, really. We surpassed all of our ticket sales that we had projected. And this year, we're hoping that people are going to get on board early so that they won't be disappointed. But it's going to be exactly the same format last year. Tickets are $35. Your glass, your passport is your ticket. And that allows you to get into all 12 of the participating wineries.
Is it a handsome glass? Do you have one you could hold up to the camera?
Never mind. Yes, we do. There we go. It's a handsome glass.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. Cheers. Well done.
And there'll be no free ones given away, Terry. So if you want one, they're $35.
$35. I just need a dribble cup. That's all.
Yeah.
Events. Are there any, or is it each winery for himself?
Well, the best thing to do is to check with all the wineries, obviously. But sure. Like I said, tickets go on sale June 1st. But check with the wineries, find out if what they require, whether you do it by phone or by email, whether or not reservations are required. We recommend that highly, that you do check in to see what all the wineries are doing.
Jim Moody from Zenata, Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, Lauren Inglitz from Enrico. Okay, I'm going to go around the screen now, starting with Bailey up the top. Comments, if you will, gents, on what 2021 will end up looking like in terms of wine and distribution and wine fans and just the whole general mix, and maybe what 2022 would look like. What are your gut instincts, Bailey?
I think as the vaccine rolls out, the restrictions will be less. People will be a little freer to travel and visit whatever entertainment venue they like. I think for us at Blue Grouse, it will be all about the transition to organic viticulture and the new plantings that that we've put in the ground. I think that really is one of the big stories for the Cowichan right now, is that there are a lot of new plantings from a number of different wineries. And I think there is a concerted effort to become more sustainable from most of the wineries, that even if they are already there, you know, it's becoming a much bigger discussion around the whole industry, and not just here but worldwide. So I think, you know, and the ability to host people again and try and see where we're going in the future. And I mean, let's face it, our restaurant partners have been hit really hard, and we're going to be looking to try and, you know, help them out any way we can to get them back on their feet, because that's, you know, out of any industry, they've really had it a punch in the gut with the last year and a half. So, you know, if we can help them and get everybody back on track, I think that's really what it's going to be all about.
Bailey Williamson, Blue Grouse. Jim Moody, nice to see you again, even if it's just on screen. Zenata, I love your winery. I love the hang. I walked in the front door and I went, this is fantastic. This is exactly what I want right here, right now. Congratulations. What do you think the answer to the question is about what's up ahead?
What's up ahead? Oh, man. I think this year's going to be a little bit cool, but... I think Bailey's right. You know, it's going to just get better with vaccination things. And I think Bailey really covered it all anyway. So I kind of just live for the day, Terry. So I take it as a cut.
Okay. And Lauren, what about you?
Yeah, I think the same thing. I mean, it's pretty much mirrored all the way through. I think as the vaccinations roll out, it's definitely going to ease up for us. I think one of the big things, and it was lightly touched on, the buy local program has been absolutely massive. And I think that all of our supports that we've been getting from all of the liquor stores, the distribution, everybody who's been supporting locally as heavy as they has been fantastic for all of us. And it's, I think that's been a crutch. And if we can continue that after we get back to normal, whatever normal may end up being, I think that's going to be, that'll be super important for everybody.
Thank you for doing this, you guys. I appreciate you. I'm sure you're going to be way better than the bunch that I talk to next.
Guaranteed we will be.
just one thing I want to clear up. By the way, who's got the website? Lauren, what's the website?
TourismCowichan.com.
That's it? That's how people get there?
That's how people get the tickets.
Get out of here.
Like I said, June 1st, it all comes on. So www.tourismcowichan.com.
You know, you don't need the W's anymore.
I know. Okay. I'm old school.
You are like a fine age wine that's been corked. Jim, is your website?
Nat.ca.
Okay. And Bailey?
Bluegrouse.ca.
Jim Moody from Zenata, Bailey Williamson from Blue Grouse, Lauren Inglitz from Enrico. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Terry.
Coming up next, Avril Creek, Venturi Schulze, and Unsworth. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the best small winery in Canada, Moon Cursor. They are delighted to let you know that their Osoyoos East Bench Tasting Room is now open daily for tastings and sales. Guided wine tasting from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. They offer a private winemaker tour and tasting. And of course, they offer sales and complimentary shipping with orders of 12 bottles or more. We welcome back Beta and Chris Tully and the entire smuggling team at Moon Cursor. All the details at mooncursor.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the Bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the Bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. It's Cow 2, the Cowichan Wineries 2, because I have Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth, and I have Michelle Schulze, who's representing Venturi Schulze. Michelle? It's ladies first. Are you guys safe? Are you well?
The wine shop's closed at the moment, but we were and we will be opening back up soon by appointment only, and people will be able to book online and we can keep things well controlled that way and do good sterilization between tastings.
And Dan, how did you guys get through, like as a group and yourself?
Oh, thanks. Good to be with you, Terry. It's surreal in some ways because, you know, the wine industry just keeps ticking along. My job doesn't change that much.
True.
The vines don't stop growing. The wines still got to be bottled.
They don't care. They want to be taken care of.
Yeah. So it's kind of like things are not too different, but, you know, you still have all those little annoyances of COVID.
And you both have great online presence. Were you able to sell online, Michelle?
Yeah, actually we were. And it worked out quite well. When everything originally started to lock down last year, sort of like March or something like that, we did a bit of a promotion and that worked really well. And we had a restaurant or two in Victoria that were just fantastic. I mean, the restaurants were suffering just like what we were, but I mean, this is a tiny, tiny restaurant and they committed to buying like 25 cases of wine up front.
Nice.
And it saved my bacon. And then with being allowed for the restaurants to, you know, actually send bottles home with people, that really made quite a difference. And then things, you know, picked up in the summertime, worked really well. And then we closed down around sort of mid-October because it was the middle of harvest and we're short-staffed, and when you're getting short-staffed you're getting short-tempered and somebody's going to end up dead, so it was just better to just shut down for a while. And we could, you know, still continue to ship and stuff like that, but we haven't seen people face-to-face in a while.
You know, a corkscrew can be a weapon.
It really can. Except when you're stuck with, you know, these screw caps that I have, I just kind of throw an empty bottle at
them. All I can do is you can't damage anybody by throwing a cap. And Dan, how did you guys online, did you do well?
Yeah, similar. Yeah, we were pretty restaurant heavy in our sales mix.
Sure.
So we did definitely had to pivot a little bit to push more to online and then also to retail as well, and able to make that transition because we always kind of had a good presence in those channels too. And then, you know, we have a restaurant on site too. So that's been a challenge up and down throughout the year. But yeah.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about your overall view in just a second, but I think Brent Rowland is, where your 12:30 appointment, Brent?
Hi, Brent.
You know Dan Wright?
Indeed.
Okay. We have a quorum in the Cow 2. This is Cow 2. You're the second bunch. You were the controllable ones, which is kind of scary in itself. Dan Wright at Unsworth. Before we talk about Unsworth, let's talk about just the festival. Will it be the same as what we've had before, or will there be some adaptation?
I believe it's the same as last year, which worked out really well. So what we're doing is a month long in August, 12 participating wineries, $35 for the ticket, and you get a glass, branded wine glass, and you get to go around at your leisure to taste around at all those wineries. So that way, doing it a month long gives people time to space out and take it at their pace.
Do you think some of these wineries are going to require reservations, or is it just open door?
I know definitely with us, it's going to be reservations recommended for sure.
That's because right.
we only have certain capacity, so we can't accommodate you if you rock up and we're full.
Okay, that's Avril Creek we're talking about. Same with you, Venturi Schultz?
Yeah. Venturi Schultz is going to be reservation only because we're really small and we're outside, so we can only operate basically 3 tables. So that was one problem that we had last year, and it was a good problem to have. So basically August booked up for us within about 3 days. And that was great because we knew what to expect and everything like that. But it was frustrating for some participants to not be able to make it to see us because we're just very limited. Yeah.
Okay, Dan, by the way, this is where you're supposed to hold up the glass and show us the official glass. Did they supply you with the glass? No, they didn't.
No.
I can tell from the look on your face. I had to do that. I know that they would never have given you a glass. Okay.
No, they wouldn't give me a glass.
No.
Oh, no.
Michelle Schulze, let's talk about Venturi Schulze. It shouldn't surprise us that the Brut Naturel that you're going to be pouring is 2014.
Yeah, we do that. We're small, and for us to hold stock when we're talking about, I think a big release for us would be like 250 cases of something in particular. We're weird. We can do 40 cases and that kind of stuff. So if we feel like holding on to something, it's not taking up a massive amount of real estate in the winery. We've got enough space to do that. So we're fortunate to be able to do things like that, not to push it out right away. But I always tell people, like, you're completely worth $35 on a Tuesday with hot dogs if that's what you want to do with it. I mean, Baldi's are so versatile and everything like that. They're really, really great.
The 2019 Kerner.
Yeah.
40 cases?
Yeah, 2019, and I took the Kerner, so I'm thinking about serving the Kerner, because I also have Kerner from 2014, and so when the wine shop opens back up, I'm going to pour them both side by side so people can understand what age does, and also they're completely different stylistically.
Totally different.
Yeah, so, and that's a bit of a departure from what we're kind of known for doing stylistically, but I really got to play around, and it was 40 cases, and if I screwed that up, you know, I don't think I screwed it up.
The spirit of Venturi Schulze is alive and well with Michelle Schulze. We're talking about the August Cowichan Wine Festival. We're going to get to Brent in just a second. We're going to go to Unsworth. Dan Wright at Unsworth, you sent me quite a few to taste. I finished this morning at about 7 a.m. what you did send was the Pinot Noir Rosé, which I expected.
Sure.
Are you making more?
No, keeping that one about even. I mean, it's around, fluctuates between 800 to 1,000 cases. And it's always like a classic staple for the winery and for, I think, becoming a sort of a classic BC Rosé. If I can say that.
If we like the 2018, are we going to like the 2019? Okay, I know the growing year is different, of course.
Yes, and then I think I sent you the 2019. 2019 was such a classic, I think, Cowichan year. A little bit of a return to normal, cool weather. And then the 2020 is similar, but just a little bit more expressive. And I mean, the changes in the rosé are very, very minimal.
When does the 2020 come out?
Probably this summer. That's why I'm trying to think, like, by August for the wine fest, it might be onto 2020, I think, for us.
And the Pinot Gris?
Pinot Gris, we made 2 Pinot Gris. One is found a little more widely retail.
Yeah.
Wise. It's just called 2020 Pinot Gris. That's out now. I'm really proud of it. I think it's one of the best Pinot Gris we've ever made. And the 2019 Saison Pinot Gris is our current release in the winery at the moment. So that's nice. Single vineyard. Yeah.
The Chardonnay. I love the Chardonnay.
Chardonnay, crisp, sort of lean style, you know, if I had to compare Chablis-esque style. Yeah. And super small inaugural release, just sort of playing right around right now. It was about 260 cases. I think it's almost sold out to wine club, I'm afraid. So join the wine club if you haven't already to try to get on that.
The Savignette, again, you'll sell that out.
Yes, absolutely. It's a bit of a cult wine locally, and barrel fermented neutral oak. I think it's unlike any other thing. You can't really compare it to it, but you know, it's somewhere between Chenin and Riesling and Chardonnay, neutral oak, and nice acidity and mouthfeel too. So
Thank you, Dan. Did I forget any?
I'll just mention the Pinot Noir. The 19 is going to be released by, I think, July 1st is our plan. And I sent you the 18. The 18's tasting really well right now, but
it is the 18th, yes.
But the 19's coming out soon. So look for that.
Thank you. Can I talk to Brent for a second?
Yeah, go ahead. He's right there.
Yes, I can see you. This is Tasting Room Radio. We are giving you a preview of the pours and the people involved in the 2021 Cowich and Wine Festival that starts August 1st and goes the entire month of August, so you can plan. We're in conversation with Michelle Schulze from Venturi Schulze and Dan Wright, the winemaker from Unsworth. Up next, Brent Rowland, the winemaker at Avo Creek and Joux. We'll find out what he's pouring, and we'll hear everybody's thoughts about this summer, 2021. This is Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Narrabetta Bench. They are very happy to report that their tasting room is open Wednesday to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And the bistro at Hillside Winery is also open with a new menu and a new executive chef, Evan Robertson. Bistro hours Wednesday to Sunday, 5 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Dinner service, grab-and-go picnic packs, and takeout will be available through the bistro. Just a reminder that there's Canada-wide complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. All the fine details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, the growing flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com. And welcome back to Tasting Room Radio. You can find the details for this show at mulliganstew.ca. Just find Tasting Room Radio. The podcast is there. This is Tasting Room Radio. This is the Cowichan Wine Festival we're giving you a heads up on. It happens August 1st through 30th. And it's a reason to celebrate, frankly, the fact that everybody's open for business for those 30 days. You can make your plans now. We've talked to Zanata, Blue Grouse, Enrico, Venturi Schulze, Unsworth, and now we come to Avo Creek and Joux. The winemaker is Brent Rowland. What are you grabbing just off camera there?
Am I right? Yeah, I'm drinking the Joux. I thought that's what we were doing today.
We are. Okay. No, yeah. I love the Joux.
Didn't send him enough.
Love the Joux. I made a couple of notes here. I might as well use them. You had a red, do you still have a red field blend, the Joux?
Yep. We have three in the Joux line. We've got red, white, and rosé.
Perfume, fruit, intensity. Actually, I like the fact do you still do the Rapasso?
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to do that every year just because it works?
I think so. It was kind of serendipitous how we started to do that. And then now that I've started that, I'm going to continue it. So Foch has always been a beautiful variety, but it's always lacked structure.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to work it too hard, which I kind of find if you work Foch too hard, it doesn't like it. It tends to shy away and get a bit clumsy. So I still keep the Foch really bright and fresh, almost like semi-carb macket. And then really happy with, like you said, the vibrancy in the perfume, but to get more structure instead of ameliorating with something out of a packet, we're 20-year-old dry grown vines now. So our top cuvée of our Pinot is quite tannic. I have to be very careful with my cap management. And when I'm pressing it, I was tasting the press tray, and I have to cut the press at about one bar, which is 3/4 of the way through for me. And when I dump the press, I don't want to waste. This is our top cuvée of our Pinot Noir, and I could still squeeze wine out of the must.
Yeah, okay.
But when I do that, I put the Joux back on top, and not only does it give me more structure and texture to the Foch, which is what I was looking for, it gives me more depth and complexity of the fruit and the perfume.
And how long do they sit around together and get to be friends?
3 to 4 days, whenever I can get around to pressing it again.
Oh.
It's real technical, real, you know.
Very technical. And very,
yeah, yeah. No,
very,
3 to 4 days is enough, I think.
And very geeky and very Veneto.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Italian wine is definitely near and dear to my heart. So a lot of the jus white actually is modeled after, I'm definitely not emulating, but in my mind, when I was thinking about it, was there's a producer in Alto Adige called Franz Haas, and he makes a wine for his wife called La Mana. And she was basically, what he told me was that she was sick of, well, this pairs with that and this pairs with this. She's like, just make me a wine that pairs with everything. So that's the spirit of the jus white, kind of a wine that is as versatile. I think it's our most versatile food pairing wine in general. So, yeah.
Well, there is the jus white, Pinot Gris, Gewürztraminer, and Chard still.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We like it, don't we?
I do. I love it. And as I'm getting more familiar with, you know, this will be my fourth vintage now at Averill. So as I'm getting more familiar with the site and what the sites give me and Vancouver Island, I'm relaxing a little bit when I'm starting to see the numbers at the end of harvest. But yeah, I'm able to kind of just the wines are becoming a little bit more focused and a little bit more refined as I learn the site and I'm able to work with the fruit here.
You want to run the rosé bias as well?
Sure. Yeah. Jus rosé is you know, again, one of my first liquid mentors was when I was in university. I was a cellar hand at Alpha Box and Dice in McLarenville.
Nice. They're crazy and there.
They're very crazy there. So when I started, it was just me and Justin Lane. I was the only cellar hand, and he was literally a mad scientist running around the winery. It was a blast. But he told me something, you know, like, instead of like following blindly the status quo of another region, he's like, it's always important to make intelligent responses to the environment you're in. So I think personally, when I came here, I'd never worked with Fosh before, but when you taste it on the vine at harvest, it is so, it's like fruit salad. It's so juicy. It's so vibrant. It's so expressive that I couldn't see in my mind why you would want to make a Bordeaux blend out of this. To me, it screams rosé, or like a big rosé, or like the jus red. So I wanted to make a rosé out of it, but the color of Fosh is so dark that it would come out red right out of the press. So what I did was I put the Fosh and also some Pinot and some Merlot into the press on the champagne cycle, pressed it off into an open top fermenter, and then I de-stemmed whole berry. One fermenter got Gewürz and the other fermenter got Gris, and treated it like a red ferment. So I'd pigeage once a day, based on taste, let it ferment dry, and then pressed it off.
You guys,
so it's kind of like a red wine, white wine, orange wine, all in one.
You're listening to, and I hope enjoying, the Tasting Room Radio presentation of our preview of the Cowichan Wine Festival starting August 1st and going for the month of August. Couldn't have said that 6 months ago or a year ago. We're in conversation with Michelle Schulze from Venturi Schulze, Dan Wright, the winemaker at Unsworth, and Brent Rowland, the winemaker at Avril Creek and Jus. I want to go back to Michelle for just, are you going to be pouring any or allowing any taste of your legacy balsamic?
We'll probably be sold out. Actually, we are sold out at that point right now. So what happens is if I have a part bottle, which I'm looking at one right now,
yeah.
And a part bottle and 100 ml bottle is not very freaking much,
no.
But I will always let people taste it. And then they get upset when I can't buy them. Like, I just saved you $100. What are you complaining about? It's okay.
Are you gonna be-
so yeah, I mean, we'll have the classic open. And if I have enough legacy to have people taste, even if it's not available, we always, always let people do that. And we'll pour the Pinot Noir, probably that 16 that I sent up to you, which I'm of two minds of, only because it is such a massive vintage. If it happens to be a hot August, I think I'm going to have to shovel people out of here on wheelbarrows, because that's a bit of a novel wine.
Sure. Are you going to pour any Raven the Thief?
No, I'm out at the moment. I've got a Zweigelt in barrel, but it's not coming out of there anytime soon.
By the way, I just want to, because I wrote these notes, that Brut Naturel, a plum and saddle and forest and dark chocolate, and it's fabulous. Well done.
That was a great vintage, that one, for sure. Yeah.
And Dan Wright, even though you have new owners, I've tasted what I'm tasting, and it's still Unsworth. That's what it is. For anybody who's asking that question, it's still Unsworth.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's all the same people working here, so, and all the same vineyards that we're working with, so not much is going to change on that end. Only hopefully going from strength to strength, you know?
Okay. And listen, with this Cowichan Wine Festival, when August kicks around, Are you guys going to disappear, or are you going to actually get to talk to people and wear your masks and a fist bump and stuff? Brent Roland?
Yeah, I tend to August. The summer for me is, you know, kind of loitering and getting paid at work. There's not a whole lot going on. So I kind of hang out and have a bit of a yarn if I can.
Okay. Michelle, how about you?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be around. Mom will be around. I'm going to have to find somebody else to work in the wine shop this year. I lost my best guy. He's moved on to other things. But I mean, when you're coming to a place like us, you're going to see us. You'll see Geronimo walking by with his little dog, but he's not going to say much to you. Maybe he'll wave.
I would leave some time. If you're a wine fan, leave some time to find a parking spot. Okay. Cause it can be tricky. Cause when they get busy. Dan, were any trout put into the pond this year at Unsworth?
No, I guess you got to restock. Sorry if I've looked a little distracted. We're getting this crazy hail right at the moment, and I've been watching it.
You're watching it. Yeah, you better get out there.
It was here about 25 minutes ago, so I sent it your way. Sorry, Dan.
Okay. Jeez.
And does anybody have any poor surprises? Anything that you're going to pull out from under the table? I'm looking at you, Brent.
Well, we don't actually know what we're going to be pouring yet because
that's what this was about.
I know, and I had no answer for you. But we're just because we're flying through wines, and we just don't know what we're going to have available. But we do. I do have a couple of, you know, Andy's let me play around a bit, so I've got some sort of one-off nerdy cuvées that may potentially get pulled out here and there.
How about you, Michelle?
Yeah. I mean, we've always got some interesting stuff under the table.
Okay.
And we've got wine libraries going way back. And, you know, if I've got the time and, you know, you're as geeky as I am, and then, you know, we can have some fun is what I tell people. Anyways.
Dan?
Yeah, sure. I mean, maybe like we have a little bit of older traditional method, or we've got a fun geeky wine called Wild Island Oxawa that I do. Okay. It's just a small bash. We might have something like that. So.
Not a cider maker in the lot. I can't believe it.
Nah.
Okay, here's the deal. Tell them once again the parameters. It's all of August.
Sure. All of August, 12 participating wineries, $35 for the ticket. That gets you a branded wine glass and access to all the wineries.
This is where you hold up the wine glass and show them the logo.
Cheers.
It's a great wine glass. Our guests have been Michelle Schulze from Venturi Schulze, winemaker Dan Wright from Unsworth, and the winemaker at Avril Creek and Joux, Brent Roland. All of them proudly from the Cowichan Valley.
Thanks very much, Terry.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks,
appreciate
it. Hope you enjoy.
Nice hanging with you guys, Michelle, Brent.
Good to see you.
Thank you for the wine. Thank you. Bye.
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 This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch. If you go to the website, The Growing Flock includes Black Swift Vineyards and Screaming Frenzy. There's a link there. The Scoundrels at Crown and Thieves, there's a link there. If you're heading for The Hatch, see if you can get there for their Hatchy Hour, their version of a happy hour. 20% off bottles purchased in the picnic area between 2:30 and 5:30. The Hatch is also the home of Black Swift Vineyards, Screaming Frenzy Wines, Crown and Thieves, Truck 59, and Smoke Show Barbecue. But they do ask you to come on down, and they'll do their best to facilitate you and your group and shower you with love, affection, and wine. All the details at thehatchwines.com.